The Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition, SPLA-IOM, has launched the General Secretariat office in Juba. Now, speaking during the launch over the weekend, Party Chairman Dr. Riek Machar Ten said the launch of the Secretariat marks the beginning of the democratization process and freedom in South Sudan. Now, what does that exactly mean to an ordinary South Sudanese? Well, we're now joined in the studio by a political analyst, Mr. Andrea March, who joins me right about now so we can have a conversation and looking at the details of that here in the program. Andrea, good morning, and it's good to have you as always on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning, Sabit William, and good morning to listeners of Miraya.
Great. As we begin our conversation this morning on this particular launch of the Secretariat of the SPLM-IO, in a political setup, what is the essence of a General Secretariat office?
Well, that is a good news to people of South Sudan, because you cannot have a political party without secretariat office. If we go back to 2005, one of the causes of this war is that the ruling party, the SPLM, failed to transform itself from a guerrilla movement to a political party that will be able to lead the democratic transformation in the country. So SPLM, IO actually, they did not bring anything new. But by launching their secretariat, it now seems like they want to transform themselves from a rebel movement to a political party that will be able to compete in any election, that will have ideology, that will have ideas to bring peace and stability to South Sudan.
Yes, and during this particular launch, the party chairman is quoted having said that the introduction of the office marks the beginning of the democratization process and freedom in South Sudan. How do you see this play out?
Well, democracy or democratic transformation cannot happen in South Sudan. If it did not happen in the party itself, like SPLM mainstream or even parties of South, or even IO, because the idea is here, you cannot change South Sudan if you do not change your own party. If you look at SPLM IO, if they want really to bring democracy, then they must change themselves. They must actually do things differently than the way they have been doing things. If you look at the SPLM in 2013, SPLM-IO in 2013, is not SPLM-IO now. So many things have changed. Those of Taban went out, and now those of Kitgwang group. SPLM-IO is not a role model now. We cannot really say that SPLM-IO can give example of a good leader or something that can really, because you cannot change the country if you don't change your own party. So I think it's good that they have started organizing their house. On the 2nd of December, they had a Liberation Council, National Liberation Council meeting in Freedom Hall, which was also good. So it seems like they are now starting to reorganize, to regroup.
Put on party structures and all that.
Exactly, because if they don't do that, they will remain a rebel group, even if they stay for 50 years.
All right. Now, do you see this influencing, you already mentioned about SPLM-IO not influencing another political parties, but when it comes to organizations like having a secretariat and all that, do you see this influencing other political parties to also, you know, challenge them, like, you know what, these people are upping their games, we also need to up ours?
Well, of course, if you are starting to organize yourself, you will encourage others. Because the way we are doing politics in South Sudan is not right. We cannot be, leading political parties from our small homes or our small offices. There must be structure. But I think this now should be a wake-up call, not only to other political parties, but to the main SPLM mainstream. If SPLM-IO is organizing itself, then the rest of the parties should actually do the same, because we are expected to go for election in 2023.
Talking about that elections, it's still a doubt though whether it will take place or not, because like with elections needs a lot of things. We need sensors, we need all to identify the constituencies and all that. We'll talk about the elections as we continue with this program. But first, most people have accused different parties of not being political parties because there appear to be no difference from their old military systems. Do South Sudan parties, like all political parties, need rebranding?
Of course, they need rebranding. And I think this is what SPLM-IO is doing now. I always say that is we don't have political parties in South Sudan because our politics have been influenced by tribes and communities. And even if you see our politician, whether in the mainstream SPLM or SPLM-IO or SAWA, you see the problem with our politician in South Sudan is that they have three legs. One leg is in politics. The other feet is in military, whether it is the army or police or even the militia. The third feet is in the tribes or the community. So they stand always on three legs so that they don't fall down. And this is very dangerous. And I hope that our political parties should start changing the way they do things. Separate the politics from the military and from communities. So I think SPLM-IO is going to be challenged, because even this launching of secretariat is not enough, because people were expecting SPLM-IO to do something new in South Sudan when they signed the peace agreement. Unfortunately, SPLM-IO did not do what was expecting of them. Because when you go to war and you come back and you join politics, you must do something different. Because when they were in Bush, they were saying, oh, we are fighting
for reforms,
to fight corruption, to fight tribalism. But now, when they nominated their
cabinet,
it was but disappointed to so many people. When you are a movement, then you need to lead by example, bring people who can really do something different, and they actually fail to do that. So people are still actually not sure whether SPLM-IO will really transform anything in South Sudan, because they say something but they do something else.
Right. Now, talking about elections earlier, you did mention, of course, the outcome, among the expected outcomes of the Transitional Peace Agreement is the holding of the elections. What do you think most parties should start focusing on as we head towards that time?
Well, election, as you have stated earlier, we cannot talk about election without security arrangements. The first thing that you need to do in any political, democratic transformation or any election, for election to be genuine and to be credible and transparent, there must be security. There must be a general census in the country. People who are in the refugee camps in northern Uganda, in northern Kenya, Ethiopia, in Sudan, they must come back.
Indeed.
They must go to their areas so that they be part of this process. If these things are not in place, that is not going to be election. That is going to be something else.
Now, do you think these things can be put in place for actually the target of 2023 to be achieved? Or you think election is not going to happen in 2023?
Well, if you have political will, that is possible. But if you don't have political will, it will not be possible, because we signed the agreement in 2018, and now we are in 2021, going to 2022.
Entering 2022, basically.
2022. How many years now? 3 years.
Yeah.
If you cannot do it in 3 years, I don't think you will be able to do it in 1 year. So again, it will come down to the issue of political will, whether leaders of South Sudan are willing really to end suffering of the people of South Sudan?
People have been saying a lot about political will, and the doubt is also if there is political. We've heard about this this sentence, God knows for how long now. I mean, isn't it obvious now, really? Should we still be wondering about if there is a political will?
Well, the issue of political will always will go to those who signed the agreement.
Yeah, but I mean, is it not clear that there is no political will?
Well, there is no,
instead of
course,
us just
of
keep
course,
saying...
Of course there is no political will, because if there were political will, we would not be talking about...
security arrangement.
Yeah, security arrangement now. Where is even reconciliation? You cannot go to election without reconciliation. Mm-hmm. People have to be reconciled. Because the reconciliation now is between politicians. But what about the people on the ground? The citizens of South Sudan. You go to Upper Nile now. The Nuer, the Dinka, and the Shulu. There is a big misunderstanding. Even in Wasser and Bahr el-Ghazal.
Mm-hmm. In Jonglei.
In Jonglei. How do you go for election in such a situation? There must be reconciliation among the communities, because if you don't do this reconciliation and you go for election, Dinka will vote for Dinka, Nuer will vote for Nuer, Anuak will vote for Anuak, and Bari will, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I think before we can talk about election, we must make sure there is security, you improve the economy, census, you go for reconciliation among the communities, and now we go for election so that I elect someone not because he's from my tribe, but he's someone who can serve South Sudan.
Yes, and talking about that, actually, on the issue of, you know, we need reconciliation first, as and all this, I mean, reconciliation, census, security arrangements, that clearly means the elections will be prolonged, probably not happen in 2023, but that also takes away the citizens from choosing the people they really want to represent them. So this kind of dilemma now, of course, we cannot have immediate election. It will not be fair, free and fair. And also, as we prolong, the citizens are denied their right to choose the people who should be leading them. Where do we end with all this dilemma here right now?
Sabin William, this is a dilemma, but don't forget that there are examples of election which we call sham elections. Mm-hmm. There are elections that were held in many countries, but it led to war instead of peace. So if you are not prepared for election, don't go for it, because it will give you unwanted outcomes. Mm-hmm. Because election itself can lead to war. If people don't accept the result of the election, if people see election as something which was orchestrated by a politician and is not transparent and is not credible, then that can also lead to war. So we have to be careful. The idea is not to rush to election, but a credible and genuine election. This is what we are talking about. There was similar case in Angola during the time of UNITA. Mm-hmm. And the government of Eduardo dos Santos. Mm-hmm. It was a rebel movement and government. They signed a peace agreement and they came and they did election, and the rebels went to Bush again, and even the leader of the rebel was killed. So election are messy. Even here in Central Africa, the election was just held a few months or 2 years back in Central Africa. But there was no participation in election, because many of the areas of the country was still under the rebels and it was not transparent. This is not the kind of election we want.
Okay.
We want a genuine election.
Great.
The only way out, what can we do? We have to push the party, civil society, the region, the international community. They have to put pressure on the leaders of South Sudan so that they make sure that the security arrangements are in place, the census in place, and people go for election.
Exactly.
I've heard also that mm-hmm. the fund for graduation of the forces have been available already. It's available now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that is what I wanted to ask, though, because here it is, at the end of the day, the ordinary citizens who are feeling the brunt of all this, because clearly it is the delay of election is an advantage to the leaders because it keeps them in power. So what can the citizens do, the ordinary citizens?
Well, again, that is why we call it a dilemma, because it's a dilemma because if you don't go for election, then leaders will be in the power, even for 50 years. This is their own way of doing elections.
Mm-hmm.
They may actually extend the government again. Mm-hmm. So the only way out is for us to reject violence, try to work for peace, talk to the IGAD, the international community, and our civil society. We put pressure on the parties so that elections are held in a peaceful atmosphere.
Let's talk about one of the things that have really been, you know, probably not making the country to progress. South Sudan has been ranked one of the among the most corrupt countries in the world. And just on Friday, we celebrated the anti-corruption day. Now, when it comes to the issue of corruption, of course, it's one of the issues that probably is leading the country down, because people keep saying there's no money, but, you know, new cars are coming in. Things like the executives and those with the access to the resources, we can see them enjoying. We can see them. But when it comes to the ordinary citizen, they say there's no money. How do we tackle the issue of corruption in the country?
You see, it's very difficult to tackle the issue of corruption in the country. Not because of those who are corrupt. I'm not talking about those who are corrupt. I'm talking about those who pretend to be fighting corruption. And what I mean by this, I am talking about the opposition parties, like Ovayo, the Sawa, and the rest. Those who were fighting government, that were fighting the government because of corruption. And when they come to Juba, who are driving these nice cars? These are the same opposition leaders.
But also including the government.
Yes, including the government. Okay, but because you want to push because government is corrupt. Okay, mm-hmm. We know government is corrupt. What about you, who is not corrupt?
Mm-hmm.
What have you done? You who is not corrupt, what have you done? And you come and you join the government, and there is no changes.
Mm-hmm.
So corruption will never end in South Sudan. Only when we go for a free and credible election. Election where people of South Sudan will choose their leaders, will choose their government, which will be accountable to the people of South Sudan. This is when you will be able to hold people accountable. But now, these are leaders who chose themselves.
So unless there's, you know, leaders
even
chosen,
the parliament,
but, yes.
Even the parliament was
appointed. All right. Yes, we have a lot to talk about, but we're having a limited time. Just very, very quickly here. South Sudan has been suspended from participating in the East African Community because of a lot of, unpaid dues. What does that mean for the country?
Well, that is a very bad thing. So of course, not only South Sudan, even the East African Community before, they were complaining, and now. But I think Minister of Finance was directed to look into this issue 3 weeks back. It was a resolution from the Council of Ministers, but I think they will be able to handle this issue.
In less than 1 minute, Dr. Riek Machar suggested, that South Sudan's name has to be changed, because South Sudan is just more like a direction, but it has to be like the People's Republic of South Sudan. That means it gives people some kind of identity and belonging. What is your take on this?
South Sudan is not a direction. South is direction, but mm-hmm. South Sudan is not a direction. It's a country. We are not called the Republic of South. South is a direction, but South Sudan is not a direction.
Well, so South Sudan is a direction of, I mean, like,
no,
of Sudan all. It is,
no,
because
have,
it is located
have,
in the South, that is
South
where the name South come from. Because
forget,
it is in the South of, you know, the whole country when it was not divided.
Don't forget, we have South Korea.
I mean, my take is, what is your take on the change of the name?
My take in the change of the name is good, but should not be now. This is not an urgent issue. The urgent issue is implementation of the peace agreement, because changing of the name, so many countries change their name. Burkina Faso was Upper Volta, Zimbabwe was called Southern Rhodesia, even Djibouti was called Somali, the French Somali. So I think this is good, but should not be a priority now. The priority is implementation of the peace agreement.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Andrea. Much, it's always good to have you on the Mirai Breakfast. I do appreciate your time.
Thank you.